With our Bibles, if you got those, we're going to go from verses 24 down to 28. 24 to 28, and I am going to ask you for your input tonight. Acts chapter 18. And we're going to be reading verses 24 through 28. And we left off at 23 last night with Paul strengthening the disciples. And so now we're going to go into this area tonight, amen, and look at a few more things, amen. All right, everybody there say amen. Any oh me's? Oh me, oh me. All right. Okay, well, let's read verses 24 down through 28, and let's start here, amen. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Father, bless now these next moments that we have together, Lord, and speak to our hearts as we look at this passage of scripture. Lord, help us to glean a blessing from this, Lord, how we can better organize and orchestrate in our own lives, Lord, the things that we need to do. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now meet our need tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I entitled this area, Educating at Ephesus. Educating at Ephesus. Let me pose a scenario to you, and I'm going to ask you for your feedback. Imagine being at your job, or in your school, or in your community, or your home, teaching a particular subject for several years boldly and confidently. You always got good results on the subject that you taught. Some changes occurred with the content that you were teaching, but you were unaware that your teaching was outdated. Yet, you're still teaching. Someone happens to hear you teaching the outdated material to a mass group of people and wants to help you out. How would you want them to approach you? How would you want them to approach you? Serge? Privately? Okay. How would you want them to approach you? Jeremiah? Not in a Bible-thumping way, more of an exhorting way. Amen. You've been teaching this publicly. You're in front of people teaching this. It's brought to someone's attention that you're outdated in what you're doing. How would you want to be approached, Beth?
Kindness, but also with backup, or, you know, this is why I'm saying this. You know, here's whatever, you know, information, not just with their word, but the backup.
Give me some evidence why I'm wrong. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. How would you want somebody to approach you? More input. How would you want somebody to approach you?
Being encouraging.
Encouraging? Amen.
You've been doing a good job so far, but this is just a little more. I think it's a lot to help you.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? How would you want to be approached? This is you now. You're up here in front of a bunch of people. You have taught this for years. And all of a sudden, you find out it's outdated. Well, you didn't find it out. Somebody is wanting to bring it to your attention. How do you want them to approach you? Sam?
I would want them to approach
the
evidence and all of that, but with a very humble and respectful manner. Mm-hmm. This changed, right? And then I would want them to give me time to absorb it and think about it. I wouldn't want them to catch me on my way in the class.
Mm-hmm.
You've been wrong the last 3 years. Get it right before, right? I would want time to adjust it.
Amen. Amen. Charmaine? Amen.
I guess you do need a bold, it needs to be bold too, but kind, so you don't feel like an idiot.
Amen. Amen. Well spoken. She's a teacher, so she knows. Amen. Yes, Carly? Amen. Amen. I like it. Amen. Anybody else? Input. Well, how would you like to be approached? This is you we're talking about. How would you? I'm not talking about how the next person. How would you want to be approached? Yeah, Dana? Amen. Why don't we explore this one too? Amen. Amen. The encouragement that we talked about, the exhortation. Amen. Anybody else? Just hit me. Just give it to me straight. Amen. You don't have to sugarcoat it. Don't have to placate me. Just hit me. Amen. Amen. Brother Hall told me that a while back. Pastor, just hit me. Just give it to me. Just hit me. Yes.
Let me educate you.
Let me educate you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Now this is real. Somehow, some way, at some place and some time, we're going to be there. It may not be in front of a public setting, but what we have may be outdated. What we have may be wrong. What we have may be a little off skew, off, and somebody's going to hear us, and somebody's going to want to approach us to let us know. How do we want to be approached? Let me give you something here. As in real estate, they say location, location, location is the key. In helping an erring Christian, approach, approach, approach is the key. How you approach someone. For instance, if I were to approach someone with a smile, would I kind of put your defenses down? Probably would. What if I came at you with a scowl? What if I came to you real serious looking like? What if I came kind of dejected? Approach really will say a whole lot about how the person is going to receive me. Especially when it comes to a Christian. I mean, if you come with a serious, dejected, a melancholy look or whatever, a smile, it is your approach. Now, let me give you several words here that I listed as to how people would like to be approached, because we're going to eventually look at this passage of Scripture here where Apollos has to be approached. Apollos is a man who's mighty in the Scriptures. He's no small-time person. He's big time, and he's got to be approached by a lay person. Amen. How would we want to be approached? How about spirit-filled? How about privately? Heard somebody say that. How about humbly? How about meekly? How about graciously? How about intelligently? How about encouragingly? Somebody said that. How about suggestively, as Dana Wilson said? How about complimentary? I heard that over here somewhere. Pick out the good. How about tactfully? How about wisely? How about, and most of all, spiritually? If I'm going to approach someone, yes, Gary?
I would
Amen.
It's not in scriptures. I'm not going to do it.
This is probably just my opinion.
That's my opinion.
Amen. And so those are some ways. Let me show you a couple things here first. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm going to approach someone, an erring brother. One of the first things that I want to do is make sure that I approach them spirit-filled. Ephesians 5:18. Most of y'all can quote that anyway. Who's got Ephesians 5:18? Can read that for me. Brother Hall. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit there. And then Galatians 5:22 and 23, the ladies' class are studying this one. Let's go over there real quick. Because I want to be fear-spilled. Fear-spilled?
No.
Yeah, that's a better way to be. Amen. Spirit-filled. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, if I'm going to approach somebody, I need to have some love, some joy, some peace, some long-suffering, some gentleness, some goodness, some faith, some meekness, some temperance. Against us, there is no law. So I want to be a spirit-filled. He said, privately or humbly. Now, why privately and why humbly? You know, I've just preached boldly and confidently, and I'm probably going to be kind of feeling good about myself. Man, that went well. Yeah, I did a pretty good job here. You know, if I'm spiritual, I'll say God did it through me. But I'm still going to feel good about what happened and people's response to how I preached. And so I'm going to be way up here. And so now, how are you going to approach somebody's way up here? You got to approach them humbly. You can't come, if they're here, you can't come up here to try to get them. Why? They're feeling pretty good about what they just gave out. And now you're going to dash them. And so you're going to have to try to bring them down a little bit by how you approach them. And so privately, humbly, meekly, graciously, look at Luke 4:22. Luke 4:22, and this is just to get your mind to think about how Aquila and Priscilla may have approached Apollos. Luke 4 and verse 22. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? So graciously, the gracious words there, we said intelligently, encouragingly, suggestively, complimentary, pick out the good, tactfully. Then spiritually, of course, Galatians 6:1, if any man be taken into fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. So go back to Acts 18. So that's basically the framework that we're trying to look at here. If I'm going to approach an erring brother, or if I want somebody to approach me, how do I want them to approach me? And by the way, you reap what you sow. How you approach somebody probably is how you're going to be approached down the line. Amen. So let's look at a few things here. Now, first of all, let me give you the background here. Ephesus was a commercial and it was a political and religious center. The great temple of Diana was there, as we'll see a bit later in chapter 19. It ranked with Alexandria and Antioch as being a major trading center. There were some great things going on there at Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla were left at Ephesus by Paul, and they find themselves at the synagogue of the Jews, and they find an interesting preacher named Apollos. Let's look at, first of all, the person of Apollos. Notice verse number 24. The person of Apollos. It says, a certain Jew named Apollos. Now, first of all, he's a Jew, so we know he's one of the chosen people there. His name is Apollos, of course, after one of the Greek gods there. Born in Alexandria. The city Alexandria, of course, was founded by Alexander the Great, hence Alexandria. Alexandria is in Egypt. And it was known to be a city of learning, wealth, and distinction. So if he is born there, what does that tell you about him already? He's pretty much high on the horse here. The city had a mix of Egyptians, Greeks, and Jews, which was a strange mix of culture. But it added to their wealth and their diversity. And it was also the banking center of Egypt and had a library with about 700,000 volumes. That's a lot for back in those days. That's where this guy's born at. He's born in a well-to-do place, amen? But notice, not only was he a Jew born in Alexandria, the Bible says down there, an eloquent man. Eloquent there means fluent, a good speaker. He was a great orator. He was a one that could really speak good. Obviously, he had picked up much from the teaching of Alexandria in his refinement and in his public speaking. He knew how to captivate a crowd. He knew how to get their attention. He knew how to speak. He was very polished in his speaking. He had a vocabulary. We probably didn't have to repeat a word. Amen. That's a good speaker. I recall Mayor Harold Washington back in Chicago. That man had a vocabulary on him. I mean, he could speak. I'm not going to say he was the best mayor, but he could speak. Amen. He was an eloquent man. Not only was he an eloquent man, notice some other things about him. The Bible says down here, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. So this man, the scriptures that Apollos knew, he was able to impart them to his hearers, captivate them, and help them understand what he was saying. He was that kind of a speaker. If he got up to speak, you wanted to listen. That's just the way he was. He was that kind of a speaker. He could captivate that crowd. He could captivate the audience by the way he spoke. He was mighty in the scriptures. With all that learning, he turned it spiritual and used it for God. Obviously, his public speaking skills as an orator were put into spiritual use. And so that is the person of Apollos. Let's notice now the problem with Apollos. The problem with Apollos. This guy came to Ephesus, it says at the end of verse 24. Notice verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. He's already a great speaker. He's already refined from Alexandria. He knows some things here. He comes to Ephesus. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. The Bible says down there, what he knew well, but he did not have full knowledge of Jesus Christ and all of his full ministry. He knew certain things about Jesus, but he didn't know everything about him. Again, the Bible says he preached John's baptism, and John said had much to say about Jesus. So he preached the baptism of John. So the problem with Apollos, he was instructed in the way of the Lord, but he only knew the baptism of John. Notice what it says here. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the Spirit. That means fervent. He was boiling over. This man was zealous. He was a great speaker. It says, and he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. So he was an aggressive speaker. I mean, when he spoke, he spoke. What was that commercial? When the E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. How many of y'all still remember that commercial? That go way back in the days. He was that kind. But he only knew the baptism of John. Now let's investigate that a little bit. The problem with Apollos, he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in the Spirit. I mean, he was on fire. He spake and taught diligently. I mean, he got his point across, the things of the Lord. But he only knew the baptism of John. The baptism of John was looking for the Messiah to come. In other words, John's message was like this. Start acting like you're saved until you get saved. That was John's basic message, condensed down. Start acting like you're saved until you get saved. See, what are you talking about, preacher? Go to Luke chapter number 3. John's basic message was start acting like you're saved until you get saved. So now you can see why Apollos was such a fiery preacher. John said, hey, look, start acting like you're saved until you get saved. Don't wait for anything. Start it now. Luke chapter number 3, looking at the baptism of John. And notice down chapter number 3. Let's start in verse number 2. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests of the word of God, came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, he is preaching and preaching about Jesus Christ coming. And he said, look, now you need to change your ways, amend your ways, start changing what you do. In other words, repent and start living right. Now, there's only one problem with their living. What did not they have? They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of people out there right now living the baptism of John. They've turned over a new leaf. They're living by the Ten Commandments. They're doing the best they can, but they're not saved. And that's pretty much what John said. As it is written in the book, in the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, maketh paths straight. John's whole goal was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, to clear the pathway out, let people know he's coming. And start acting right. Every valley should be filled, and every mountain and hill should be brought low. The crooked should be made straight, and the rough ways should be made smooth. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Basically, he said, who told you that there was some judgment coming? Notice what he says in verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits or works worthy of repentance. You know what he's saying there? Show me that you're saved. I mean, show me that you're acting like you're saved. Show me that you're acting like you're repentant. Show me like show me that you're acting like you have changed your ways. He said, bring forth these fruits. Then he says, begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham, our father. For I say unto you that God is able to these stones raise up up children unto Abraham. So now you know why Apollos was such a fiery preacher. If he preaching like that, that preaching will move somebody to do something for God. Amen. Notice it says down in verse 9, and now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. He said, if you don't do right, you're going to be cast into fire. Notice verse 10. The people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. You know what he's saying? Start living like you're saved until you get saved. He says, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. What was it? Tax collector? And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? He said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. You know what he was saying? Start acting like you're saved until you get saved. That's the baptism of John. Start acting like you're saved until you get saved. And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them, all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I cometh, the latcheth of whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. He's saying, you're going to get saved or you're not going to get saved. You don't get saved, you're going to get burned up. Amen. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. So that is the baptism of John right there. That's pretty much what Apollos was preaching. Act like you're saved until you get saved. All right, go back to Acts 18 with me. Acts 18. And we see the person of Apollos, the problem with Apollos. Why such a big deal with this teaching? Acts 18. Verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Why is there such a big fuss with John's, or with Apollos' teaching? What's the big fuss? Katie? He's not preaching Jesus, he's preaching the baptism of John. Right. Why is there a big problem with that as well? Jeremiah? Could get in the way of their missionary work and confuse new converts. That's true. Serge? It can sound like work salvation. Amen. Sam? Exactly. Live like you were saved. Amen. Amen. So John said pretty much, live like you are saved until you get saved. But that's the only thing that Apollos is preaching.
He's not telling them how to get saved.
Right. There's more to this story. Now, if that is true, there's a real danger in his message. And there's further danger because of one key point. Location, location, location. Where is he at? Ephesus, but we're at in Ephesus. In the synagogue. Who does the gospel go to first? To the Jew first. He's still preaching John's baptism, and he is in the synagogue. Location, location, location. That is the key. He was in the synagogue with the Jews that needed to hear the rest of the story. Jesus is the Messiah. He has come. He is risen again, and he is coming back again. And that's what they needed to hear. And so it was a big deal because of his location. Notice here, and we're going to stop with this one. Notice on verse number 26, the place of Apollos. He began to speak boldly in the where? Synagogue. So here he is preaching only John's baptism, saying basically, start living like you are saved until you get saved. The only problem is he's not going to tell them how to get saved. And if the truth be known, guess what? The Jews were already doing that. So he's not giving them something that they don't have already. They're trying to do that by keeping the law, which is to no avail. And so the place of Apollos, he's in the synagogue. He's in the meeting place of the Jews. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Now, if he's the type of speaker that we know he is, what do you think that many of these Jews would do after hearing Apollos? Go out and tell somebody else the same thing that Apollos is telling them. This baptism of John thing. Is that what Jesus wanted perpetuated? What did Jesus want perpetuated? The gospel. He wanted the gospel perpetuated, not the baptism of John. John's baptism was supposed to get people prepared for the way. So when you look at this, the place of Apollos, he's at the meeting place of the Jews. But then notice the people for Apollos. The people for Apollos. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And we're going to pick up with that next week. The people for Apollos were left by Paul in verse number 19. Notice that. He came to where? Ephesus, and left them where? There. But he entered himself into the synagogue. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Paul left, went on down to Caesarea, to Antioch, Jerusalem, all those other places. And so now, left in Paul's absence is Aquila and Priscilla. And they're going to have to do what Paul would have done. Get this guy right. But again, I go full circle back. How would you like to be approached? And that's the way they're going to approach him. And we'll talk about that a little bit next week. So we see the person of Apollos. He's a Jew born in Alexandria. He's eloquent. He's mighty in the scriptures. There's a problem with Apollos in verse 25. He was instructed in the way of the Lord, but he only knew the baptism of John. And with all his fervency and his diligent teaching, he was missing the boat. He was coming short of salvation. The place of Apollos, he's in the synagogue, the meeting place of the Jews. The people for him was Aquila and Priscilla. And we'll finish up with some of that next week. But I want to leave you with this thought. This week, as you're talking to maybe someone at your job, or maybe you're talking to a brother or sister in Christ, maybe you want to speak to them about a certain issue, always ask yourself, how would I want to be approached? How would I want to be approached? And the way I want to be approached is the way I ought to approach them. Why? God will honor that. God will bless that. Now, do I have to be the same way all the time? No, everybody's different. Apollos was totally different than someone else. And so I have to know how to approach my boss, how to approach my children, how to approach my peers, how to approach my subordinates that are under me, how to approach this person. I've got to know how to approach everyone. Why? They're all different. But guess what? They all need to know the right way. And they all need to know the Lord. And so we're going to look at that next week, how they approached him. We'll look at some things as to what they did to get his attention and to get him where the place where they could instruct him. Because the Bible just says this in verse 26. He began to speak boldly in synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It doesn't say anything else. But if they did that, there had to be a way they did it. And we're going to investigate that a little bit next week. Amen. Because you got to approach people in the way that you can get your point across. Otherwise, you do more damage than you do good. Amen. If you do any kind of teaching, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Sure, man, you got to get them kids' attention. Amen. You can mess them up in a heartbeat. Amen. They will turn you off. And so we got to watch that. Amen. All right. Don't forget, we're going to close in a word of prayer. Pastor White wants to meet with those that are getting ready for Friday up here. If you're going to be helping meet up here.